we knew there was some tension, but we didn't expect it to take this dimension. We have tried to increase patrol in those areas and deploy in those areas just to de-escalate the tension. We also have some attacks on Ngovdinka from the Misria side. This seems to be a coordinated attack. We've been engaging the community from this side of Adien and neighboring the Misria because the three Dinkas are outside our area of operation. We don't have much other than to engage the government in Cuba to try to talk to them.
UNISFA has been in the area for years, and these kind of skirmishes between the Dinka Ngok and the people from Twitch County in Warab State has never been there. But what is the reason? What are the drivers of this tribal conflict?
This is a new trend, even for us. We've never had, even the tension that seems to have been great, we've never had it before. I would think it is politically motivated, and it has to do with a disagreement over land in terms of where the two things think where things of Dinka are land and they need to reclaim it. We don't know why it is coming at this time, and the timing is wrong. It seems to coincide with at the time the mission is reconfiguring and the Ethiopian troops are withdrawing. Some of the troops that are supposed to reclaim them are yet to be fully on the ground. So we don't know. We are still trying to investigate, you know, why at all and why now.
You mentioned earlier that these attacks look like they are coordinated. Could you expound on that?
It is happening at the same time, and the trend looks the same. And we suspect it is coordinated. Of course, the Ngovdinka has come out to say clearly that it is a coordinated attack. But for us, we are looking at the circumstances the circumstantial evidence on the ground, which points to the fact that the timing and the nature of the attacks look the same. That's why we suspect that perhaps they are coordinated attacks.
The mandate of this mission was Chapter 7, to use force in order to deter any security threat on the people of Abia. But again, under this mandate, several attacks took place in Abia, and the community is pointing fingers at UNISFA, saying that UNISFA is doing very little to deter these attacks. What is your comment?
It's true that UNISFA operates under Chapter 7 of the UN Security Council Resolution. You know, no security is foolproof. And for us, sometimes, if there is time lapse between when there's a security incident and when it is reported, sometimes we get there when it is too late. The people who do this understand the terrain much more than we do, and it is not a conflict that is that is conventional. In most cases, these are hit and run people, more of what you can call a guerrilla attacks. They hit and withdraw. So by the time we go there, sometimes it's too late. Secondly, yes, Chapter 7 is there, but sometimes one has to exercise caution in order not to become part of the problem much more than the solution.
And how is the reduction of the troops affecting the mission and the mandate of UNISFA in Abia?
There are gaps, because even with the initial deployment of 4,000, if we really have to deploy on the ground, you know, we cannot cover the entire area. Aside from the fact that security has to be provided at the headquarters too. And you are talking of both Adie and Kadugli under the JBVMM. So the remaining troops spread thinly on the ground, and at the same time, you cannot deploy in every house. You cannot deploy in every area covering what is known as the Adie box.
All right. And how about families affected, displaced? I mean, I saw something from the UN humanitarian coordinator talking about thousands of people displaced. Is that the picture on the ground?
Not really. When this happened last Saturday, the people from AGOG run to Adir, and when the incident happened in Adir again, they run to our premises. But what we did was that we quickly deployed in very critical areas and then increased our patrol both in AGOG and in Adir. So the same day, most people, if not all, like in Adir, all the people returned to their houses. So we don't have a large number of displacement. In fact, even those who came from AGOG are staying with families in Adir. So in terms of humanitarian displacement, we don't have that, as a matter of fact, in Adir.